Welcome to the radio ministry of the Seed Christian Fellowship. The Seed is a Christ-centered, God-glorifying, Spirit-filled fellowship of believers eager to share God's love with you. No matter where you've been or where you're at, you are welcome. The Seed is a place to belong and grow in God's grace and love. Our prayer is that you will experience God's grace at the Seed and that you will come to know God's love. Grow in Christ's grace, go in the Holy Spirit's power, sow seeds of faith in our world. Welcome to this week's Seed of Faith.
Welcome to the Seed Christian Fellowship. This is Pastor Dave, and this week's message, we're still in the Gospel of John. We're going to be in John 1, 19 through 34. I've titled this message, Voice of One Calling. Today we're going to look at this passage, and we're going to take this long reading of John's account of John the Baptist and his message. John the Baptist's message, his mission, his ministry. John the Baptist was the younger cousin of Jesus. Can you imagine that? John the Baptist and Jesus were cousins. They grew up together. They were only 6 months apart. Did you know that Andrew, Simon Peter were brothers? They were the early follower, and Simon Peter was an early follower of John the Baptist. Scholars suggest that Andrew was the one of those who heard that John the Baptist shout out, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." When Andrew heard those words, Andrew stopped following John the Baptist and started following Jesus and went and found his brother, Simon Peter. Well, before we go to God's word, let us come to the Lord of life in a moment of prayer. Lord God, your grace is amazing and life-giving. And as we open your words of life, fill us with life and love to shine your light into our world. Help us to see our mission and our ministry, and help us to be the voice of one calling into this world. Amen. Grab your Bible. We're in John chapter 1, 19 through 34 this day. Listen, if you don't have a Bible, email me at Pastor Dave at the Seed Christian Fellowship, and I'll mail you a Bible. We had a member of our church buy boxes of Bibles, and we give them out at the church. I would love to give you one. John 1, 19 through 34. This is the testimony given by John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who are you?" He confessed and did not deny it, but confessed, "I am not the Messiah." And they asked him, "What then? Are you Elijah?" He said, "I am not." "Are you a prophet?" He answered, "No." Then they said to him, "Who are you? Let us have an answer for those who sent us. What do you say about yourself?" He said, "I am the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, 'Make straight the way of the Lord,' as the prophet Isaiah said." Now they had been sent from the Pharisees, and they asked him, "Why then are you baptizing if you are neither the Messiah nor Elijah nor a prophet?" John answered them, "I baptize with water. Among you stands one whom you do not know, the one who is coming after me. I am not worthy to untie the thong of his sandals." This took place in Bethany across the Jordan, where John was baptizing. The next day, he saw Jesus coming toward him, and he declared, "Look, here is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. This is he of whom I said, 'After me comes a man who ranks ahead of me because he was before me.' I myself did not know him, but I came baptizing with water for this reason, that he might be revealed to Israel." And John testified, "I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it remained on him. I myself did not know him, but the one who sent me to baptize with water said to me, 'He on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain is the one who baptizes with the Holy Spirit.' And I myself have seen and have testified that this is the Son of God." Well, in our gospel reading today, we're introduced to John the Baptist. His story is told in all four gospels: Matthew chapter 3, 13 through 17, Mark chapter 1, 9 through 11, Luke chapter 3, verse 21, and here in John. Did you know that John the Baptist is mentioned 89 times in the New Testament. Well, stop and think about that. John the Baptist is mentioned 89 times in the New Testament. Well, we should stop and pay attention to John the Baptist. In all three gospel writers, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, record the same powerful event and the words spoken by God. This is my son, the beloved, with whom I am well pleased. Our reading today from the Gospel of John does not give all the specific details about Jesus' baptism. What we are told is that John the Baptist baptized with water and Jesus' baptism with the Spirit. Today, we'll spend just a little bit of time reflecting on the ministry of John the Baptist. We'll look at his mission and we'll look at his ministry. The three points, if you're taking notes today, the three points of today's message is John's message, John's ministry, and John's mission. The message of John the Baptist, well, I think it was humility. John the Baptist knew exactly what his message, ministry, and mission was. When the Jewish leaders came and questioned John the Baptist who he was, he answered them formally and carefully. Notice it says confessed or confessed twice in verse 20. I am not the Christ. So they asked him, then who are you? Are you Elijah? That's a fair question. After all, he looked like Elijah and he came in the spirit and power of Elijah, and the Jews expected Elijah to come back. In fact, the final words of the Old Testament in Malachi chapter 4 verses 5 and 6 tell us that Elijah will come again before the day of the Lord. But again, John answered, I am not. Are you Elijah? He says, I am not. Again, they question him, are you a prophet? Maybe they were thinking about the one of whom Moses prophesied in Deuteronomy chapter 18, verses 15 and 18. It says, the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me. But John said, no, I'm not a prophet like the one you called Moses. He was very explicit in each denial. Verse 22 goes on to say, they finally say, who are you? Give us an answer to take home to those who sent us. What do you say about yourself? And John answers in verse 23 through 27, reveals what is of primary importance in the matter of witnessing. First, in verse 23, he said, I am the voice. He did not say, I am the word. He reached back 700 years to the words prophesied by Isaiah in chapter 40, verses 3 through 5. He said, I am just a voice. Borrowing that image from the Old Testament passage, he was saying, I am merely a workman making a road for the Messiah. So what? Maybe that's a good so what question for us today. So what did John the Baptist do? He moved the emphasis away from himself. Similarly, look at verse 27. He is the one who comes after me. I'm not even able to untie the strings from his sandals. I'm not worthy to untie them. He turned the conversation away from himself and he pointed it to Jesus Christ. Not only that, but he also claimed that he claimed a place for Jesus to be exalted above all people. He was unworthy to perform a task relegated to the lowest servant. John the Baptist's message was filled with humility. What humility? One of the most powerful statements Jesus spoke about John the Baptist is found in Matthew 11:11. If you have your Bibles, you can turn there. Matthew 11:11, Jesus said, I tell you the truth. Among those born of women, there has never arisen anyone greater than John the Baptist. Matthew 11:11. Whoa. Stop and think about that for a moment. Of all the people who ever lived, including Moses and Abraham and Noah and Jacob and Joseph and King David and the disciples and Paul and, well, me and you, John the Baptist was the greatest of mortals. Why? John was a messenger who was filled with humility. One of the most decisive moments in our life is when we admit our need, isn't it? The admission is what it took for to turn Tracy Bailey around. Bailey writes in Guidepost magazine that in 1993, he stood in the White House Rose Garden in the presence of the President of the United States to receive the National Teacher of the Year Award. He had come a long way. Some 15 years earlier, he had stood as a teenager in the presence of a county judge in an Indiana courtroom to be sentenced to jail. Bailey had gone on a drunken rampage with friends, vandalizing a high school, and been caught and found guilty. Nevertheless, Bailey stood before the judge with his head held high, the words of his high school wrestling coach ringing in his ear, "Don't you ever hang your head. Do not admit defeat. The minute you do, it's over." The judge looked at the proud teenager and stunned the courtroom with Bailey's sentence, 5 years in the Indiana Youth Center, a prison one step below the state penitentiary. Well, Tracy Bailey went to jail with his head still high, but it took only a few months for reality to set in. One day, as he sat in solitary confinement in a cell with nothing more than a metal cot, a sink, and a toilet, he realized what a mistake he had made. He began to weep. More important, he began to pray to God. "God, I need help. I'm defeated without you." That was the turning point for Tracy Bailey. He joined a prison Bible study and began taking college correspondence courses. And after 14 months in jail, he was released on probation. And after further college studies, he became a science teacher in Florida. With these words, he summarized the lesson he had learned in life. "I bowed my head and tasted victory." Jesus says of his cousin John, "John is the greatest." John says he's unworthy to even untie Jesus's sandals. That's humility. The message of John the Baptist is a message of humility. I would say that the biblical humility is defined this way: to believe what God says about you over anyone else's opinion of you, including your own. Let me say that again, because I think so many people struggle with that. We need to believe what God says about us over anyone else's opinion, including our own. Humility requires you to embrace who you are in Christ over who you are in the flesh. You've been listening to The Seed of Faith, brought to you by The Seed Christian Fellowship. This is Pastor Dave, and we're talking about John the Baptist, and his message was a message of humility. Listen, if you need prayer, our prayer team would love to pray for you. You can email me at PastorDave@TheSeedChristianFellowship.com. You can go to our website, www.TheSeedChristianFellowship.com. Click on the prayer link, or you can email me. Our prayer team would love to pray for you. Humility requires you to embrace who you are in Christ over who you are in the flesh. To be biblically humble is to be free of concern for yourself, your own ego, that you unreservedly elevate those around you. I found 11 traits of a person with humility. Here they are. They're not boastful. They are grateful. They do not belittle others. They are not jealous. They are not proud. They are not rude. They are not vain. They are not materialistic. How are you doing in the humility scale? Jesus declares John the Baptist as the greatest. If you cannot be more like Jesus, because I get people, they go, "I can't be like Jesus." Then I go, "Be like John the Baptist." His ministry was, his message was humility. John the Baptist had the humility of baptism. That was his ministry. There seems to be a lot of confusion, fear, frustration, and anger around the meaning and the sacrament of baptism. There was an article in the USA Today newspaper a few years back about the decline of baptism in many American churches. The article went on to say that there are now baptism-style ceremonies where God is never mentioned by parents seeking to initiate their children into a world of all faiths. Wow. Emma Drulin runs a website called ceremonyway.com. She conducted such a baptism-style service for two proud parents, Kristen and Farnan, and their little daughter, Greer. The parents said that they just wanted a larger spirit to guide their daughter, but they did not want to be specific. They wanted her to cover all of her bases. The couple grew up as Presbyterians, but now they said, we do Christianity light for Greer, who believes in angels and fairies and leprechauns and, well, even Santa Claus. One of the major difficulties with dealing with the subject of baptism is that there are two very closely related words for baptism in the New Testament. The first word is bapto, which means to dip or to immerse, and the second word is baptizo, It's quite obvious that the second word baptizo has been transliterated into English and we have the word baptize. The difficulty comes when we try to translate a word that has a different meaning in two languages into another language. If baptizo only meant to immerse, which is what bapto means, then immerse would be used. We would speak of John the Immerser, or we would quote the Great Commission from Matthew 28, go and therefore make disciples of all nations, immersing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. This is not the case. We need to look past the literal meaning of bapto and look at the more important metaphorical meaning of the word. Baptism is a sacrament of the church, and in our church, the church that I pastor, we have two sacraments or sacred moments, I call them, communion and baptism. And baptism is the outward sign of the inward reality of God's grace. Baptism is a sacramental moment when we are changed. When we are baptized, the visual image is that we are buried with Christ and raised up into a new life with Christ. Baptism is an outward sign of the invisible reality of being washed clean, not of our senses, but of our sins. We've been made new. Baptism changes us. Baptism is a sign for our being engrafted and adopted into God's family. Baptism is also the sign of being filled with the Holy Spirit. Change is one of the significant images surrounding baptism. John had a message of humility and a ministry of baptism. How about you? What is your ministry? No matter what it is that you do, your ministry includes shining the love and the life and the light of Jesus Christ into your tiny section of the world. I know that most of you may think, Pastor Dave, you're a minister, you're a pastor, and I'm not. Well, that's true, but think of it this way. The ministry of every Christian is the spiritual work of who you are. The message of John the Baptist was humility. The ministry of John the Baptist was baptism. I'm going to digress. If you haven't been baptized and you want to be baptized, go to your local church. If you need to find a local church in your area, you can email me or go to my website and send me a message. We would love to talk about baptism for you. Baptism is a sacred moment. So he has a message of humility, a ministry of baptism, but his mission was very simple, a voice. Look, there's a painting from 1525 called Agnus Dei, Agnus Dei, depending on how you translate the Latin, I call it Agnus Dei. This picture is in the San Diego Museum. It's by Francisco de Zurbaran. If you look closely, you can see a halo above the lamb's head. You can Google it too. You'll see the lamb's legs are tied. I see there's a cross that's foretold. He's laying on a cross. John the Baptist's words are being proclaimed. Look, see, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. For centuries, the nation of Israel had focused on the idea of a sacrificial lamb. With John's statement, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, well, it's a reflection of Isaiah 53, verses 6 through 7. Listen to what Isaiah 53 says. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned our own way. The Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as sheep before his shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. John's statement made it clear that Jesus was the sacrificial Lamb of God who would take away the sins of the world. He would be the sacrifice for sins. John's mission was to proclaim that what God had provided, the Lamb for our deepest needs. John the Baptist's message was now a message of hope and healing. So my so what question for you is, do you behold the Lamb of God? Is Jesus the sacrificial Lamb of God who takes away your sins and washes you clean? So what? We're a long way from the first century, but what can we take away from the gospel writer John and John the Baptist? From John, the gospel writer, we can take away that Jesus is the Word of God. Jesus is the love of God, the everlasting life and light of the world. John then goes on to tell us again about Jesus' cousin, John the Baptist. The greatest person ever, according to Jesus? We need to take away three things from today's message and from John the Baptist. The message is humility. Be humble, like John the Baptist. Be grateful, not boastful. Don't be jealous, proud, rude, or vain. Do not belittle others. Simply bring the message of Jesus and let the message speak for himself. I think that's a great message today in our society when we're struggling so much with all the things that are going on with this pandemic and the political situation and the world with wars. Be humble, like John the Baptist. Be grateful, not boastful. Don't be jealous or proud or rude or vain. Don't belittle others. Boy, how would our world change if you didn't belittle someone or someone didn't belittle you? Simply bring the message of Jesus and let the message speak for himself. That's Jesus. The ministry, if you're a Christian, you have a spiritual ministry to share the love of God and shine the life and light of Jesus wherever you are and wherever you go. Whether you are working in the workforce, staying home to care for children, or living in a retirement home, or you're just, you have a spiritual ministry to be a witness to the Lamb of God. If you don't know what your specific ministry is, or you can only, you don't know what to do, write me at Pastor Dave at the Seed Christian Fellowship, or better yet, go to our website at www.theseedchristianfellowship.com. Click on the spiritual gifts test and take the spiritual gifts test. Find out what your ministry is and go out into your world. I'd ask you to pray about it. You've got a message of humility. You got a ministry to share God's love. And our mission? Well, our mission is hope and healing. Are we bringing hope and healing into our world? Boy, oh boy, is our world divided. I see many who proclaim Christ bringing divisions into our world. I see many who proclaim Christ bringing hope and healing, though. Earlier I said, if we can't be like Jesus, well, that is a tall order. I have people tell me, well, Pastor Dave, I just can't be like Jesus. I say, well, then be like John the Baptist. John the Baptizer. He baptized his cousin Jesus and simply said, look, this is the Lamb of God who takes away your sins, takes away my sins, takes away the sins of the world. To sum up this message in seven little short words, make straight the way of the Lord. Make straight the way of the Lord. That's our message. That's our ministry. And that's our mission. Let us pray. Lord God Almighty, we come today and we give thanks for your great grace. We've heard about amazing grace, the grace upon grace. Now today we hear the word, a voice of one calling, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Help us to have eyes to see and ears to hear what the Spirit is saying. Help us fan into flame the gifts of God that you've given us so that we can use our gifts in this world to be a message of humility, to have a ministry sharing your light and love, and to bring the mission of hope and healing into our world. In Jesus' name, amen. I want you to know, I really want you to know that God loves you. God loves you with an unconditional, inexorable love. And so do I. God loves you. Have a blessed week.
You've been listening to this week's Seed of Faith. Our prayer is that you have come to know how much God loves you. If you would like to know more about the ministry of the Seed Christian Fellowship, contact Pastor Dave at his email address, pastordave@theseedchristianfellowship.com. Or you can send a message through the church website, theseedchristianfellowship.com. You are invited to come to church Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. at the Rancho Cucamonga Community Center at 11200 Baseline Road in Rancho Cucamonga, California, 91730. The Seed is a wonderful fellowship of believers growing in God's love and grace. And when you do come, please make yourself known to Pastor Dave because he would love to meet you. If you don't have a home church and you would like to find a church in your area, they can send you names of some local churches in your particular area. Well, thanks for joining us this week. And remember, God loves you, and so do we.